Obviously, your intro goes here. Whatever intro ends up happening,
it goes here.
Yeah, and then there's like extended riffing, and then we come in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Hi, and welcome to the inaugural episode of Flash in the Pan.
Oh, yeah.
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 It's a good name, isn't
it?
I'm quite proud of it. Yeah.
I'm proud of you for it.
That's really sweet. I'm Tom, and I'm here with my cool friend Alex.
Hello.
And this is a podcast where we will be going back in time about a decade, maybe a decade and a half, and we're going to be mining the dark recesses of the internet's collective memory.
You couldn't have put it more aptly.
And exploring the Flash animations and phenomenons from our misspent youths.
Were they misspent?
I mean,
we spent them watching, cartoon animals dance around, so really, I mean, we're just living our best lives, honestly, when you think about it.
I mean, that's true. Small spoiler, definitely not all of the stuff we cover is going to be dancing cartoon animals.
Some of it was, and some of it will be.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
But we're going to be starting with a real crowd pleaser, which does have dancing.
And it does.
We at least have music.
Yes.
Because, and you can watch along at home. I mean, hopefully you'll be watching along at home. If somehow you haven't seen this, you'll be pretty...
You know what's the scary thought is that there could be people listening to this who weren't born when it came out.
Okay, given that this came out in 2006.
Was it 2006? I thought it was earlier than that.
The album that this was, the song was on, was 2006.
Oh, okay.
And if you've guessed it, then well done.
Well done. Because
we're going to be watching the ultimate showdown of Ultimate Destiny.
Ah, it's always so fresh in my memory. I must think about it on, if not like a weekly, then like a bi-weekly basis. I'm not sure why.
I think I still know all the words.
I don't know all the words anymore, but.
Will do after rewatching it.
I always remember Mr. Rogers in a bloodstained sweater, because that's a very good fucking punchline.
Okay. Well, no more spoilers.
No.
We're gonna go and watch that, and we'll be back in a second.
Wow. Oh my god.
How was that nostalgia?
The thing is, after having not watched it probably for about 13 years, which is back when it was released, it's amazing how much of it I actually remember, like the choreography of it, and
vividly
who appears before who, and like exactly what happens.
Yeah, it's, as a song, it actually holds up fairly
it really does. It's got a really good beat, a really good driving rhythm through it.
It's got a good flow.
Yeah.
It's just got a really good momentum.
Yes, that is the one thing that song still has, which is really good momentum. Something which some popular music now doesn't even have.
No.
It's impressive.
I mean, in this is only 2018 and songs with momentum in are not exactly rollicking on the charts.
It's a sign of the times.
No one says rollicking anymore.
Well, you can say it. Bring it back.
I'm bringing it back.
Rollicking.
Well, speaking of rollicking,
tell your friends.
I had a rollicking good time
watching that again.
Yeah, but specifically, so I was trying to put myself in the mindset of how I was when I saw this first when I was 15, and it would have been just after it came out, so Christmas 2015.
Yeah.
Christmas 2005.
Oh, yeah.
Early 2006. And I remember watching it and being awestruck because I was 15 and...
You got all the references.
No, I didn't.
I didn't get
loads of references. So, I had no idea what Scruff McGruff was. Crime Dog.
No, I don't think I did either.
No, I was vaguely aware of Aaron Carter.
Well, I think a lot of these things are just going to be, cultural differences between us as a as being people from the UK and, you know, not living in the States. Yeah.
And also the fact that I just hadn't seen that many films. I hadn't seen Bill and Ted.
I knew who Bill and Ted were at that time. I'd seen Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure by the time I was 15.
I still haven't seen Big Trouble in Little China. I know who Lopan is now.
Me either.
We'll fix that. That's our homework.
Yeah.
And the punchline, Mr. Rogers, like, when I first saw it, I thought, I don't know who this is, so I'm just guessing, like, Neil Cicerega is, like, his neighbor or something, which, in a sense, it is.
Yeah. But, yeah.
But no, Mr. Rogers was not a thing.
I didn't know who Mr. Rogers was either, so I think I just Googled him.
Okay.
And was like, oh, okay,
are you sure
yes.
in 2005 you didn't, like, Alta Vista him?
It might have been Alta Vista.
Or Lycos.
Whatever it was, I looked Mr. Rogers up because I had to know.
Yeah.
I had to know. I was like, well, who the hell is Mr. Rogers? I've never heard of Mr. Rogers.
Why is it significant that...
Why is that significant? And it's because he's like this really kindly man who doesn't do murder.
No.
Not, he does like the opposite of murder.
Well, I mean, it's probably in character that right at the end, after witnessing the breadth of his destruction, I completely forgotten about this.
Oh, and then he turns himself.
Yeah, he turns his sword on himself, and there's this lovely little, like, slow black and white shot of his eyes. The life drains from it.
Yeah. No, I you know what? I didn't remember it until the shot where he's like holding the sword. I was like, oh yeah, he does stab himself at the end.
So, oh, and speaking of references, one thing. So, in the second chorus, I want to say, there's the pan across the city, and you see Mario beating up Sonic, people being, you know, run over and beating each other up, right in the background.
Oh God!
And no, I had to bring this
you
up
because
it's part of Flash history.
It's definitely part of history.
Yeah. So, way in the background is, if I'm not mistaken, Eric Borman. The guy behind Ebaum's World,
Ebaum.
You just got that.
Well, I never knew that. I never fucking knew who it was that ran Ebaum's World. I barely fucking went there.
Okay, that's fair. Anyway, it's Eric Borman of Ebaum's World, which was a late 90s, early 2000s content aggregator site, by which I mean it was stealing a lot of funny images and flash animations and putting his own watermark on.
And videos.
Yeah. And Eric Borman is in the background getting punched out by Richard Lotax Kianka.
Oh.
As seen in a previous music video that Lemon Demon, aka Neil Cicerega, had done all about how awful Eric Borman was. From like 2002. So there's some continuity there, and also there's a nice little extra internet in-joke for the people in the know.
Well, wouldn't it be funny if Lotax punched Eric Borman?
Yeah, wouldn't it be funny if Lotax were good at punching people?
He certainly isn't. That's been proven. That's on record. He is not. He is not good at being in a fight.
No.
I mean, which we all knew before he did the thing that he did.
What? Get bodied by Uwe Boll?
Yes.
Oh, Uwe Boll. Uwe Boll is a name that meant something.
It did.
In the mid-2000s.
It did, because he made... he was public enemy number one amongst
internet nerds.
Amongst internet
nerds. Kinda, yeah.
Because he was making the awful video game movies.
Yeah, and there's nothing worse that you can do to society than give it bad movie adaptions of video games.
Yeah, that's absolutely nothing.
That's why all of the cast and crew of the Prince of Persia movie were all drowned.
Yeah.
On opening night, ritually.
Very sad. We don't call it, like, just as a society, we don't really talk about it. We just like to pretend it didn't happen.
No, I like remembering it happened, because Judi Dench was there. She pulled the velvet cord that opened the trapdoor, and they all fell in. And ironically, because the box office was so low, they couldn't afford the piranhas they were going to put in, so they just slowly drowned.
That's fair.
Yeah. But yeah, Neil Cicerega, actually, he just... this was going to be a sub-segment.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
No, it is, because we have a cool name for it. Right, which is it's a little like where are they now segment.
Okay, because you're right. Sorry, yeah. I forgot. I'll remember in the future.
it's fine. It'll all sound all right in the edit. Good luck with that. Yeah. By the way, but yeah. So we thought since a lot of these old Flash animations are made by people whose names aren't necessarily well known, we could do a little segment that I like to call Flash. Oh, I'm so proud of myself. Where we look at where these people are now. Obviously, Neil Cicierega is very difficult not to stumble across on the internet. He's done all sorts of things.
It's really hard to get away from him.
But most recently, 2 days ago, he released a game online called Monster Breeder.
Oh, that's him?
Yeah. Which is a cute little game where you are a breeder and capturer of monsters. You go around exploring, like, castles and woods and lakes and so on.
Yeah.
And you capture monsters, and you bring them home, and you breed them, and you sell those crossbreeds to buy more adventuring stuff. And it's quite fun, because all the monsters are, like, monsters from films and books and so on, and all the crossbreeds have really stupid names. So if you get an evil car, and you crossbreed it with a giant shark, you get a cock.
That just makes sense to me.
Yeah.
That should make sense to everyone at home. Let's not insult them.
It's actually really fun. It's worth checking out.
What I just did then, that was him. Oh, that's most things that he's done.
Yeah.
That's what I usually... As he put stuff out and I discovered that it was him, and then it was like, and then it was him again, and again, and again. Like, that's kind of how you discover, like, oh, okay, the guy's super fucking talented and funny.
And immensely prolific.
Yeah.
Which is a good thing to be if you want to keep your footprint on the internet.
Cause, like, knowing that, like, he did this, and then later on he did fucking Brody Quest.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Brody Quest is another fucking classic in internet history.
Brody Quest is truly wonderful.
Wow. What a guy.
Neil Cicierega. What a guy. Should we move on?
Yeah, let's move on.
Right, so, the second animation we have tonight. Tonight? Yeah, sure.
Yeah, it's the evening when we're recording
it. It's dark outside, so it counts. Is not necessarily as well known, but certainly was a big part of my childhood. For reasons I'll get into later, and it's called One Ring to Rule Them All. By Legendary Frog.
Legendary Frog, I'm very familiar with. This one, I'm not sure.
We'll find out.
We'll find out. Ring goes on, ring goes off. Ring goes on, ring goes off. Ring goes on, ring goes off. Wow.
So you'd
I've never actually seen that before.
You'd never seen that?
No. And I think that now what I'm going to start doing whenever I order a pizza is ask if it's evil before I eat it.
You were...
He has to say yes, otherwise I'll send it back.
You were legit laughing throughout this.
It was quite... There was nothing... It wasn't, like, particularly clever, but it was still funny.
Yeah. It's basically, I think, 3 jokes, one of which is repeated a lot.
Yes.
And... It's wonderful seeing what was one of this guy's very first animations.
Oh, that was one of his first
one? Yeah, back in 2002.
Oh, wow, yeah.
And it's really...
Maybe that'll be why... Maybe that's why I didn't see it, because 2002, I would have been...
12.
12, and man, I didn't use the internet until I was about 14.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
I was an early bloomer, internet-wise.
Mm.
That was part of my childhood. I could remember not just joke for joke, but moment for moment, the awkward pausing, the timing which isn't quite right.
Yeah,
it's genuinely charming.
You can tell that it was just like probably Legendary Frog, and like it could have been Legendary Frog doing 2 voices, or Legendary Frog and like one of his friends, like. Who could do like a good Igor impression?
I think it was just him.
It could very easily have just been him.
Yeah, and I think this is a good pick generally for this for the podcast, because there are so many short little animations like this from the early to mid 2000s, which were enormously popular. There was a Legendary Frog forums that I was part of.
I remember,
you know,
that.
Like,
I
know, there was a huge fan community and, like, web ring of animators and so on. And it was all based on these little experiments, basically. With all these people who don't really know what they're doing, but because Flash was fairly easy to model through, they're managing to put together these little...
Like animations,
These little comedy statements.
That's an accurate description of that. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's a bit.
It's just a bit.
It's a bit that he's, instead of honing in front of a live audience, he's honing in front of, you know, Macromedia Flash.
Yeah, I think actually that's quite a lot of, like, early, like, online, like, I guess, content. Stuff like, you know, serialized stuff, like, from the early days, you know, like, really annoyingly, the only thing I can think of is, like everything on Newgrounds and, like, Red vs. Blue and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
Like, a lot of it's just, like, you can tell they're writing the jokes and, like, you know, they've watched, like, a lot of TV and stuff and they've seen a lot of movies, but, like, they may be, like, not sure about how the process is actually done, so they're just kind of... They're probably bouncing off them, like, them just themselves or maybe somebody else, but mostly it's like, okay, well, what's the reaction to this from the community?
Yeah.
And that's how they're like...
Can I get two or three decent laughs in this 2.5 minute cartoon?
Yeah.
If yes, perfect, I'll animate that on Sunday.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, and one thing which we had to point out, which if you're watching on Newgrounds or equivalent websites with us, you'll see is the preloader.
Oh God, yeah.
So kiddos, back in the day, back before your cool stepdad rolled in with his fiber optic broadband. Right, we had a little thing called really bad internet.
We all did.
And it would take a long time. It would take a long time to load
anything. These
very small file sizes in Flash. And so what a lot of candy animators did was they put up a little screen or maybe sometimes a little game while the video was loading proper. And in this case, it's Frodo putting on and taking off the ring.
Yeah.
Over and over and over.
Yeah.
But I like it because he went to the trouble of drawing and animating Frodo for the loading screen.
But he never actually...
Frodo isn't in the cartoon.
Yeah, I do quite like that a lot.
He's just there. It's like, meanwhile, thousands of miles away.
This conversation's happening.
Yeah.
Preloader, famously, the idea was later stolen by video games.
You're right.
Yeah.
Well, I think it happened around the same time. Loading screen minigames. Like the pause in Okami.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was about the same time.
And then I think Namco patented it so no one could do it for about 10 years.
That's fun. That would explain why there was... I don't think it was recent, but at some point in like the last maybe like 4 years, there was a FIFA game. And while it was installing, you could like do penalty shootout.
Wow.
While it was installing. Yeah. But that's all you could do, was penalty shootout.
I mean, in fairness, that's all the England team could do back in the day. Hey!
That's the joke 5 people understand.
I don't know if that's true. I remember so little about football.
It's probably true.
Coming back to the cartoon, one thing which just occurred to me is that back in 2002 when this was made, Lord of the Rings was current.
Very. I don't think it finished, the movies finished coming out.
I don't think so.
No. I think at that time, the second movie had just come out.
I think we'd had Two Towers.
And the third movie was on the way.
So that was
current.
That was current. That was what internet nerds were into in 2002.
Oh, yeah, it was massive.
Yeah, Lord of the Rings and also The Matrix.
Yes.
Massively.
Well, I mean, a lot. a lot of stuff on Newgrounds, like, back then. It was like, it's animations about stuff that was current at the time.
Yeah, there's a lot of, I guess, Saturday Night Live or 2D TV style.
Yeah. You know what?
A thing happened. Yeah.
What year was, like, 2D TV? When did that?
That was early 2000s.
Was it?
Yeah.
It was about the same time Newgrounds was happening then.
I think so, yeah. Mm. I wouldn't be surprised if there wasn't a little bit of crossover.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. If 2D TV came afterwards, I'd be like, oh yeah, well they cribbed that from Newgrounds probably. But if it was happening about the same time, then...
Yeah.
But yeah, there was probably crossover. I wouldn't be surprised if people that worked did a lot of like prolific stuff that got quite, you know, popular on Newgrounds went and maybe, you know, worked for 2D TV or certainly...
Monkey Dust.
In animation, yeah.
Monkey Dust is the other one.
Yeah.
The other big one, which we might talk about in depth another time.
Why do I remember Monkey Dust?
I've got the first season on DVD. They only released one. The other two seasons you can't get on DVD.
Were there two? Well, it was more than one season. There were three. Monkey Dust? Fucking hell.
It actually got better as it went along.
I can believe that.
Yeah.
It wasn't.
What?
I was going to say it wasn't bad, but...
Bits of it hasn't aged well. You can tell that we're so far off topic, but one of the fun things about Monkey Dust, I say fun, is that you can tell that at least one of the writers was going through or had just been through a messy divorce.
Ooh. Is one of the writers like, oh, it's Greg, we get it, but, you know, come on. We've got a job to do here.
Actually, like, that's probably an interesting... lack of influence is that a lot of the things that we're talking about here, and a lot of the things we're going to be talking about, are made by and were made by kids.
Yes.
Teenagers.
Yeah, like Legendary Frog at the time, I believe it was like
16 or so.
Yeah,
maybe less.
Not that much older than us.
No, and so without a lot of life experience. Then, yeah, I imagine you do go back to the comedy staples that you know from TV and books and so on.
Mm.
I mean, like, honestly, the routine in One Ring to Rule Them All could just be out of, like, a mid-tier Pratchett.
Yes.
Yeah? Do you like the idea of an evil?
Is
the pizza evil? Excellent.
It is quite a Pratchett-esque joke, and that must be why I like it so much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very simple, but it's hard not to like, I think.
It's very difficult not to like, because as you said, it's, like, supremely, like, charming, because you can tell that, like, whoever was doing it, like, they were super into what they were doing, because like, there's a mark of quality there, but it's, like, just...
Is there a mark of quality?
It's off enough.
Yeah.
That you can tell that they weren't 100% what they were doing.
It's got naivete, hasn't it?
Yes. They had an idea of what it was they were going for. It didn't quite get there, but what they achieved still conveys it, what they were going for.
Yeah.
But it's difficult not to like it because, like, yeah, there's a lot of the awkward, like, pauses because maybe they've just left too much of a gap between the animations.
I genuinely love the, after he reads out the, okay, like, the orcs are on strike, fair enough, that's a good setup for, like, two punchlines.
Yeah.
Casual Fridays and Maiming Sundays.
Maiming Sunday,
that was cute.
That's good. Yeah.
Fairly sophisticated. Yeah. You've got the generic punchline of, oh, the orcs want casual Fridays. That's cute. But then you've got another roll-on punchline.
I want a dental plan.
Yeah. And then after the demands are met, it's just dead. There's nothing else is going
that's
on.
It.
And the gremlin, the goblin, rather, just leaves.
He just fucking leaves. Yeah, it is like he's said in his head, I'm done with this shit, and he just fucking walks off.
Yeah, and then Legendary Frog peels back the kimono just enough to show a little bit of insecurity right at the end with, was that too much?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, very analytical. No, but I think the main reason for me where it's really hard to not like it is because, like, there's no mark of, like, what I would call humour of the time. Where
okay.
A kind of, a joke that would have been more acceptable, let's say, back then, than if you made it now, when a bunch of people would have gone, ooh, you know? Like,
yeah, that's...
there's no mark of that.
Do you think 2002 was too early for what we now know of as the scourge of edgelord humor?
Yeah, because I think that was prevalent through, like, to 2008, I would say.
At least.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so maybe a little too innocent.
But I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. I mean, it was... Because it's not made by a kid.
No.
It's made by someone who was around our age when we saw the thing. Well, when you saw the thing.
Well, I mean, when I saw it, yeah. Yeah. It was made by a teenager.
Yes, but it didn't do any of, like, the really easy, like, downward punching jokes.
He didn't really have space.
I guess not, but you could maybe fit something kind of shitty in there, maybe, if you tried.
Well, I guess that's a seal of quality. He wasn't shitty.
I like that he didn't do that.
Yeah,
that's
fair.
Like, that's the thing. That's always the dangerous thing about going back and looking at stuff that you remember liking when you were younger,
mm-hmm.
is that you notice things that you didn't notice when you were younger because you didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
You see jokes and you see bits and you go like, oh, really? Come on, like, yeah.
Yeah, I feel you.
Yeah, sure. That's just, yeah. No, I think that's part of why I liked it, but like, it was genuinely charming.
Okay.
Partly because of how badly, how inept, I don't want to call it like bad or inept.
It's amateur.
Yeah. That's why it's good. I like it because it's amateur.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Do you want to find out a little something about what he's up to now?
Mm.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Right. So
I really want to know.
It's time for another edition of Flash. Well, once you've got a jingle for that, it'll sound much better.
It will.
Okay. So Legendary Frog went on to do a lot of other Flash animation stuff. He's still producing.
Okay.
He's still working with some of the same people that he used to back in his heyday.
Wow.
Like Chris Bow.
Okay.
And most recently, the most high-profile thing he's done is he did the animation for the Cinema Snob spin-off series, Lloyd. So the Cinema Snob is that guy with the glasses style guy who usually covers...
He was on that guy with the glasses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who did exploitation movies and recently has done a lot of Christian films.
Okay.
He has a cat called Lloyd.
And oh, you did a film about the cat.
A Flash animation series where Lloyd the cat is like a hard-drinking detective.
Oh my god.
And that's animated by Legendary Frog.
To see that?
Yeah. Maybe in a future episode.
Yeah, maybe. If it's Flash, like, why not?
Yeah.
Mainly at the moment we're going back. But maybe at some point when we, like, run out of things that we liked when we were young.
Once we run out of good memories,
yes.
And we can start plumbing the bad future.
Isn't that that's a song, isn't it?
No.
It sounds like one.
Bad Future is one of the things from Sonic CD.
Oh, okay. Maybe that's what I'm thinking of. Sonic is right there.
Oh yeah. So
yes, right there.
We're currently looking at the Newgrounds front page of today, and it's remarkably similar to how it used to be, just in terms of the mix of content. So we've got video game characters, we've got cartoon characters,
mm-hmm.
we've got what looks like a violent parody thing.
Yeah, which was. Another thing that was, like, really prevalent, like, 2005.
Oh, we'll get to it.
Yeah.
But we've also got a couple of earnest and cute-looking independent things.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I like it. I like how Newgrounds is still Newgrounds.
Yeah. It is. It's a real... It's an odd one because it's like it's a time capsule that is somehow still contains like somehow contains things from like last year and this year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like turning on the telly and seeing an episode of, and this is a very local reference, so you can just like tune out for a bit, but
or pretend we said something else.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. My Family.
Okay.
Or Two and a Half Men.
Mm-hmm.
In that, whatever season, whatever episode you tune into, it will feel exactly the same.
But
the people will be older or younger.
depending on what, yeah, and what series.
And the cast will be slightly different, but not too different.
No. Yeah, and the material will reflect the time period.
Yes.
The references will, anyway, yeah. It is actually a lot like that. That's a good...
Are you saying that Newgrounds is the unkillable sitcom of internet content?
Yes. Absolutely, that is what I am saying.
Okay.
Honestly, it's amazing every now and then to just remember that Newgrounds was a thing.
It was a thing.
And that it's still a thing.
It was. It is, I think...
Like, that's something that, like, one of my friends would regularly say was like, hey, you remember Newgrounds? You remember how Newgrounds is, like, still going? Like, it's a joke, but... It's true.
It's to those who didn't live through it, I don't think it's possible to properly articulate how important
it was. Very important.
And how,
to a lot of people, myself included.
Yeah, and how exciting and wild Newgrounds was.
Oh god, yeah, it was fucking wild.
Yeah, this is before YouTube. This is before Facebook.
Yeah, pre-YouTube, pre-Facebook, pre-Twitter.
Yeah, but before Web 2.0 came and homogenized everything, Newgrounds and similar websites like Albino Black Sheep,
mm-hmm.
and countless others, and all of the websites dedicated to violent stick people, which we will get to.
Oh, God, yeah. that's still a thing.
Oh,
people
know.
People still make those.
I mean, that's basically all the movies people make in Minecraft. That, you know, that's a pedigree with a long a long dynasty behind it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's why I wanted to do this podcast generally, because
it's an important
cultural history lesson.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah,
and some of the stuff we look at is gonna be fun and exciting and nostalgic, and some of it's gonna be total dreck,
absolute rubbish.
But it's all gonna be part of this wonderful, terrifying, shared cultural history we have.
Mm. And it's interesting too, considering that it was online, like I was saying earlier, like, oh well, there were things on the Ultimate Showdown of Ultimate Destiny we didn't know because it was a reference for people in America.
I didn't know who Jambi the Genie was.
But like, Newgrounds is really interesting in that, like, yeah, it's a cultural thing, but it's like an internationally shared cultural thing. I think it obviously excludes a lot of people who didn't speak English, but I mean, a large amount population of.
There were crossover hits though. There were breakout hits.
Yeah, correct me if I'm wrong, but there were like a few like things where characters like didn't speak. So
most
it was pretty,
of the time,
pretty universally understood. So yeah, like it's like an internationally shared like cultural piece of history that like most people our age, slightly older, slightly younger, like absolutely they'll like remember like that one thing that they saw on Newgrounds, because I know I do. I remember like several like one thing that I saw on Newgrounds. It just sticks with me, like a lot of like the really obscure like references that I will make to myself, because I know there's no point making them to anyone else, because it was thing from Newgrounds that like only maybe I saw, like whoever else saw it. I don't know where they are now. It could be anywhere.
Yeah, I mean, I can definitely thank the Ultimate Showdown of Ultimate Destiny for starting a lifelong obsession with people being crushed between masculine thighs.
I can thank it for on a regular basis muttering to myself, low pant Superman, every single Power Range.
Yeah.
For no reason whatsoever.
Yeah, during the watch, Alex was literally mouthing the words to herself.
Because I was like, a switch in my brain was flipped. I was like, holy fuck, I remember all of this. Yeah. All of it.
Yeah, I imagine the similar thing happens to, like, our parents' generation if The Riddle by Nick Kershaw comes on at a party.
Wow, now that's a joke two people understand. If two people even understand that, yes.
Yeah, so, Alex, where can people find you?
I'm on I'm on that Twitter at Dex01.
DEX01.
Yeah. And
you have a YouTube.
I do. I have a YouTube channel where I. Okay.
What's the name of that YouTube channel? That's what the plug segment's for.
Oh yeah, of course. The name of the YouTube channel is VNDLP.
That's Victor November Delta Lima Papa.
Papa, yeah.
Yeah. And you can find me on Twitter at Gertrude Perkins. It's Gertrude PRKNS.
Because it wouldn't fit.
Well, no, because someone's been squatting the actual Gertrude Perkins
for
name
far
since
too long.
Since 2009.
Come on now.
I know.
Come on. Yeah. Let someone else have a turn.
At Jack, this is the real injustice. And we also have made a Twitter for the podcast, which is at.
Well, you've made it.
Yeah. At FlashITPod. Mm. No, it's not.
Oh.
Oh,
uh-oh.
God, I can't remember
uh-oh.
When I made the Twitter. No!
Uh oh.
I believe it is FlashITPancast or FlashItPancast.
Yes, yeah, that's great. That might even be better than the actual name of the show.
And we are probably going to have like a little letter section at the end here. So if you have any comments, queries, recommendations, especially, then you can send them to flashinthepancast@gmail.com.
Nice.
Yeah. So,
branding.
So, this has been Flash in the Pan. I've been Tom.
I've been Alex.
And until next time, remember to give in to the demands of your striking orcs.
I thought you were going to say remember to rate 5 stars, but... Wait, was it 5? Was it stars?
Remember to rate 5.
Rate 5, yes.
Yeah.
That's the one. Remember to rate 5.
Yeah, let's keep that one, yeah. Until
or
next
one
time.
If you didn't like it.
No, right. No, yeah. Until next time, blam this piece of crap.
Oh, yes! Fuck yeah!